All right, Javose, good morning. I am so sorry that I can't be there with you in person, but at least Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to learn together virtually. So today's daf is Chof Vav 26. We are picking up in Emirat Hashem on the bottom of Chof Hei Amud Beis 25b, four lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we were dealing yesterday's daf. The way we got into this entire sugya was a fascinating and riveting discussion between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon, namely about the status of Keren B'chotzer HaNizok. So Rabbi Tarfon holding that you have to pay a Nezek Shalim, Rabbi Rabbanon holding that you have to pay Chatzi Nezek, and the truth is we saw that really what it came down to was a machlokas about the concept of Dayo and how Dayo works in terms of limiting a kavachomer. The Rabbanon essentially holds of Dayo. Rabbi Tarfon only holds of Dayo when it doesn't undermine the entire effectiveness of the kavachomer. Then we saw a third school of thought that seems not to subscribe to the concept of Dayo at all, although that was subject to some dispute as well. So now the Gemara is just bringing up a whole bunch of other potential kavachomers as well. So we are four lines up from the bottom. Says the Gemara, "Utehei Shein v'Regel Chayiv Rishus Rabbim kavachomer." Why don't we say that Shein and Regel should be Chayiv and Rishus Rabbim based on a kavachomer? What's the kavachomer? Uma Karen Shebishus HaNizok. Karen, if done in the damaged party's domain, and Omashalim Elachatzin Ezek only pays half damages. So Rishus Harabim Chayeves, and yet ultimately again in Rishus Harabim is Chayiv. Shein v'Regel shel Rishus HaNizek M'shalim Nezek Shalim. So Shein and Regel, which if done in the damaged party's domain, pay complete damages. Ein Odin shel Rishus Harabim Chayiv. Certainly they should be Chayiv in Rishus Harabim. It's a pretty good Kav HaChomer. If Keren, which ultimately again is Chayiv, even in Rishus HaNizek, if Keren ultimately in Rishus HaNizek is Karen Rosh Hashanah is Chatzi Nezek and pays Chatzi Nezek ultimately again in Rosh Sarabim. So Shein V'Regel V'Rachayiv Nezek Shalim in Rosh Hashanah should certainly have to pay, presumably the Gemara is saying Nezek Shalim in Rosh Sarabim as well. So which Gemara says, no, Omakra, Ubir B'Stei Achar V'Lo B'Rosh Sarabim. No, there's a specific pasuk when it comes to Shein and Regel. The pasuk when discussing Shein and Regel talks about the idea Ubir B'Stei Achar, the animal went into the field. Now it's not into another field, but rather it's into the field of the other. There is only liability for Shein and Regel when damage is done Birshus HaNizok in the property of the damaged party and not in Rishus HaRabim. Top of Chof Vav 26a, says the Gemara, Midi Kule Kamina? No, one second. We weren't trying to obligate Shein and Regel in Nezek Shalim in Rishus HaRabim. Rather, we're just trying to say maybe Shein and Regel in Rishus HaRabim should be Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. And again, the logic is, if Keren, which is Chayiv Rishus HaNizek, Chatzi Nezek, is Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, Chatzi Nezek, so Shein and Regel, which are Chayiv Nezek Shalim in Rishus HaNizek, should be Chayiv, maybe at least Chatzi Nezek in Rishus HaRabim. To which the Gemara says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, the Gemara calls the Pasuk, V'chatzu es kaspo, you will literally again split the money in half. That's the Pasuk for Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, kaspo shel zeh, v'lo kaspo shel acher. To teach us that the concept of Chatzi Nezek, the concept of half damages, only applies to Keren. Doesn't apply to anything else. Now the truth is, to modify that, we know that Chatzi Nezek does apply to one other thing. It also applies to tzroros, so that we do know it also applies to tzroros. But halacha lemaisa, we only have a concept of chatzi nezek as it applies to Karen, and therefore again no such concept of chatzi nezek by Shein or Regel. Okay, incredible. I said the Gemara goes on. Sorry. So the Gemara goes weiter. Excuse me, managing the technical pieces over here. Okay, all right. So the Gemara goes back to this. So the Gemara says third line down from the top. Chav Vav Amud Aleph. I says the Gemara. Belote Shein V'Regel Chayeves Birshus HaNizek. Ela Chatzi Nezek Kal Mikal V'Chomer MiKaren. So now the Gemara puts forward another suggestion. Why don't we say that Shein and Regel should only be Chayiv? Shein and Regel should only be Chayiv in Rishus HaNizek. So again, Shein and Regel damage done in the property of the damaged party. Should be chayiv chatzi nezek, have damages from a kavachomer from Karen. What's the kavachomer? Uma Karen shebirshus harabim chayeves. Karen, if done in Rosh Hashanah, the public domain, one is chayiv. So birshus hanizak eino mishalemes ele chatzi nezek. Yet interestingly enough, if Karen is done, right, in Rosh Hashanah, you only pay half nezek. If that's the case, Shein v'regel sh'rishus harab p'tura. So Shein and regel, which are potter in rishus harabim, ain't odin sh'rishus ha'nizek m'shalim chatzin nezek. Then they should only have to pay chatzin nezek in the rishus of the nizek as well. Amar kra yishalim. The pasuk says it speak Shein and regel that the owner has to pay. And what we infer from that is, yishalim tashlumin ma'al. There has to be proper payment. What's the definition of proper payment? Complete damages. Complete damages. Good. So the Gemara says, "I velo tehe keren birshus harabim." As it says the Gemara, "Velo tehe keren birshus harabim chayiv mikal v'chomer." Why don't we say keren and birshus harabim shouldn't be chayiv? Interesting. Keren and birshus harabim shouldn't be chayiv based on a kal v'chomer. Umashin v'regel shabirshus hanizak nezek shalem. So when you have shin and regal, when shin and regal are done in the damaged party's property, you pay complete damages, and yet birshus harabim b'tura. But if shin and regal happens in birshus harabim, you're potter. So the Gemara says keren shabirshus hanizak chatzin nezek. So keren tam, which if done in birshus hanizak, you only pay half damages. Ain of din shabirshus harabim b'tura. Certainly, again halacha l'maisa, you should only be chayiv. You should only be chayiv, or I should say, excuse me, Rosh Hashanah, you should be potter. On Rabbi Yochanan, Amrekra, Yechetzun. Ein chatzin nezek chaluk lo b'Rosh Hashanah and lo b'Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, it's two interesting limudim. Number one, what we saw on the top line is that the concept of chatzin nezek only applies to Karen. And in the application of chatzin nezek to Karen, there is no distinction between the domain in which the damage was performed. Either way, halacha l'maisa, you pay chatzin nezek whether the damage was done in rishus rabim or the damage was done in rishus hayochid. Okay, another kal v'chomer. V'yehe adam chayiv b'kofer mikal v'chomer. They both say, not only the halacha is that if a person's animal kills another individual, kills a human being, there's a kofer payment, what we call an atonement payment. We'll talk about more of that in depth. We'll talk about that in greater depth. So the Gemara says, maybe a person, let's say Reuven kills Shimon, maybe Reuven should be chayiv to pay kofer mikal v'chomer. Now, in general, again, when a shor damages someone, the owner of the shor is not chayiv in the four independent buckets of damages, right? We've spoken about this. Nezek, damages, well, you are chayiv damages, but tsar, ripui, boshes, sheves, we've spoken about all these different categories. Humiliation, doctor bills, lost wages. So why don't we say like this? When a shor goes ahead and injures someone, the shor is not obligated, the owner of the shor is not obligated in these four buckets of damages, and yet is chayiv b'kofer, and is obligated to make the kofer payment. Adam, shechayiv b'arba dvarim, eno din shechayiv b'kofer. So a person, when Reuven damages Shimon, Reuven is chayiv for the additional four buckets of damages. Maybe he should also be chayiv and kofer. Amar kra, therefore the pasuk says, Amar kra, kichol asher yushas alov. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, when speaking about, again, a shor that went ahead and killed someone else and has to pay kofar. So the lashon of the pasuk is anything that will be placed on him, or alav means on it, on the shor, below al adam, and not on the person. So essentially, based on the pasuk, we see that the kofar payment only applies to an animal, doesn't apply to a person. Why don't we say that maybe a shor, maybe when a shor goes ahead and injures something else, another shor, or a person, well, not another shor, but another person, or a shor injures a person, the shor should be obligated in four buckets of damage, right? The four categories of damages. Mikal v'chomer, umma adam shinu chai b'kofer chai b'ar v'advarim, a person who doesn't have, right? If Reuven kills Shimon, there is no kofer payment there, even though there's no kofer, but Reuven, if he damages Shimon, is chayiv to pay four different categories of damages. Shar shechayv b'kofer, eino din shechayv b'arba dvarim. So certainly a shar, which is chayv in kofer, right? If the shar kills someone, there is an obligation for the owner to pay kofer. Maybe the owner should also be obligated to pay the four buckets of damages in a case where the shar damages someone. Amar kra, ish ba'anito, velo shar ba'anito. So we'll say, so the pasuk explains, halacha l'maaseh, speaking about the four categories of damages, the way the Torah describes it is when one person damages his fellow. So the four buckets of damages, so to speak, the core four categories of damages are only applicable when one person injures another, and not when a shar, not when an ox goes ahead and injures someone. Okay, incredible. So we'll say, so that pretty much brings an end to this entire kal v'chomer section. Of course, going back a little bit, halacha l'maaseh, we pasken like the Chachamim in the Mishnah. And really like the two drushas we just saw before. Number one, the chatzi nezek is unique to Karen. And number two, the chatzi nezek obligation of Karen applies wherever the Karen damage is being done. So whether Karen damage is being done b'sharabim or b'shos hayochid, halacha l'maisa, you pay chatzi nezek. Paskei chachamim reject the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Good. Ibai luhu. Here's the shaila. Interesting case here. Regel shadarsa agabe tinok. So this is an interesting case. Let's say Reuven's animal is in Shimon's field, and the animal tramples chas v'shalom on the baby of Shimon. So Reuven's ox ends up trampling over the baby of Shimon, kills the baby chas v'shalom. So now mahu shetishalim kofar. Now I just want to point out what's happened over here. So the shar has killed someone, but remember this is an act of regel. This is an act of regel, right? The shar is just kind of walking along. Unfortunately, the baby was there. The shar trampled the baby and killed the baby. So what's the shayla? Is there kofar? Is there a kofar payment? Kofar payment is the payment that is made when a shar kills someone. Now, generally, the concept that when the shar is killing someone, generally, it takes place in the context of some type of aggressive behavior. What's unique over here is the killing is not taking place in the context of aggressive behavior. The killing is actually taking place in the context of regel. So is there an obligation of kofar on the part of the owner of the shar when the act of bloodshed was done through regel? That's the shayla. So the Gemara says, Mahu shetishalim kofar. So do you pay kofar or not? So the Gemara says, Mi'amrinon, midi dehavia karen. So maybe it's like karen. Karen keiv adava trev plasa zimni archehu. So just like Karen, right? In other words, if Karen becomes a habitual offender, and so too again, two or three times again, well, that's the machlokas you saw before, right? About when, at what point in time becomes a muad, and ultimately again, you pay kofar. Hachanami loshna. So too over here, remember again, regel is also muad. Regel is muad. And because regel is muad, maybe if the regel results in an act of bloodshed, halacha lemaisa, the owner of the ox has to go ahead and pay kofar. O dilma, Karen kavanos alahazik, ha'in kavanos alahazik. Or maybe as you said before, no. Kofar is associated with Karen. Karen, there is a direct intention of the animal to damage. That's when there's a kofar payment. Over here, in this case, there's no intention to damage, right? Again, the animal was just doing its thing and unfortunately trampled upon the baby. So maybe there's no Karen. So what's this here? The shaila is, on one hand, an active Karen which results in death, you're going to have to pay kofar because like it's a muad for that. On the other hand, so too, regel is also muad, so to speak. Regel is muad for regel. On the other hand, maybe kofar is a function of aggressive behavior. And of course, in this case, this is not aggressive behavior. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Tashma. Hechnis sharo l'chatzer balabayis shelo birshus. So let's say Reuven brings his ox into Shimon's chatzer without Shimon's rishus. V'nok chol balabayis. Right? So what happens? Umeis. And now what happens? Reuven's shar goes ahead and gores Shimon. Now Reuven's, so remember in this case over here, that halacha l'maaseh, so Reuven brought his shar, his ox, into Shimon's property without Shimon's rishus. While in Shimon's property, Reuven's shar gores Shimon and kills him. What's the halacha? Hashar b'skila, uba'alov bein tam be'mua m'shalim kofar. So ultimately, again, the shar is killed, because we've seen already, anytime an animal takes life, it's put to death. So the shar is killed. And Reuven, the owner of the killer shar, ultimately again has to pay kofar. And this is independent whether the shar, Reuven's shar, was a tam or a muad. Reuven goes ahead and pays kofar. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Kofar shalim b'tam Rabbi Tarfon minaleh. So this is interesting because according to Rabbi Tarfon, what you see is that the kofar payment, the owner of the shar that kills is liable to kofar payment, even if the shar is a tam. Even if it's Karen tam, there's still going to be a liability of kofar. Where does Rabbi Tarfon get that from? Lav mishum desavar l'Rabbi Yosi haglili, damrim tam mishalim chatzi kofar b'shus harabim. This is interesting. So it must be that Rabbi Tarfon is basing his position on Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi haglili says that when an animal kills someone in Rishos HaRabim, and he's a tam, the animal is a tam, you pay chatzi kofar in Rishos HaRabim, umaisi le kavachomer miregel. And ultimately, again, based on a kavachomer miregel, It will say that you have that a Karen Tam pays Kofer Shalem when the damage is done Birshus HaNizik. By the way, take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Krav Yosi Haglili, it's right across from Tosos V'yehei. Damar V'Pirkin, come on, Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kofer Birshus HaNizik. So obviously we haven't gotten to this yet, but we will see Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Halacha L'maisa, if a Tam animal goes ahead and kills someone, right? So Karen Tam, that results in the death of someone, the owner, according to Rabbi Yossi, will pay Chatzi Kofer. So based on that logic, Rabbi Tarfon's building on this, and he says, oh, and if a Karen Tam kills someone in Rishus HaNizak, he'll pay Kofer Shalim. That's his logic. That's his logic with the Kal Vachomer. Again, that's the logic with the Kal Vachomer from Regal. Good. So the Gemara says as follows. That's his logic. Alma, Ika Kofer Beregal. Bosa, what do you see from here? You see from here, interestingly enough, that there is Kofer Beregal. So let's just pause here for just a second. We really haven't done the sugya of kofar, but it's important to understand that the paradigmatic case of kofar, of a what we'll call a payment, an atonement payment, when my animal takes the life of someone else, so typically that finds its expression in a case of Karen. My animal gored someone, my animal kicked someone, my animal bit someone, stomped on someone, you know, stuff like that, aggressive behavior that results in death. What the Gemara is trying to figure out over here is, well, what happens if the animal kills someone, but not in a case of Karen, but rather only in a case of Regel? So what the Gemara is suggesting now, is that based on the position of Rabbi Tarfon, we would actually say that there is a kofar payment by Regel as well. So if an animal, in activities of daily living, ends up killing someone, ultimately, again, not only is there just regular nezek, but also there'll be kofar, there'll be an atonement payment that is paid as well. Amar Rav Simon Ar Adah, Tana min Nezikin, deregel ma'isila. So ultimately, you know what I'm saying? So this idea by Nezikin is brought down by regal, extrapolated from regal. In other words, remember again, because Rabbi Tarfon made this kal v'chomer to regal. I glossed over that, but Rashi says kal v'chomer mi regal. Rashi says ki hechi degamar lekeren tam le'inyin Nezikin mas nisin. Here's the kal v'chomer. Mashin regal shepturim b'shesarabim. Just like Shane and Regal ultimately are Patan Rosh Sarabim, Legamri, and yet Bershus HaNizak, Kofer Shali, and Bershus HaNizak, they would pay complete damages. Keresh, Bershus HaRabim, Chatzi Kofer, Rabbi Yossi, Glili, Enodin, Bershus HaNizak, Kofer Shali. Okay, the point over here is that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is learning this out from Regal. Says the Gemara, Tanim in Ezekin de Regal, Maisila, Velifroch, why don't you ask the following question? Malin Ezekin de Regal, Shekin Yeshnon Be'esh. So, you know, this is actually interesting. What about when it comes to regal? Excuse me. What about the following issue? When it comes ultimately again to Nezikin by regal, Nezikin of regal applied by Eish. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Sheken yeshno be'esh, tomar bekofer she'eno be'esh. So, interestingly enough, take a look at the previous Rashi, Minezikin deregel maisi. See that Rashi? He says over here, the olum leka kofer beregel, v'achi gam Rabbi Tarfon, ma regel b'sher b'shus harabim patra minezikin b'shus hanizak, nezek shalim, keren sher b'shus harabim chatzi kofer kebosi. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says as follows. You're learning this out from regel. So ultimately, again, here's the issue. That ultimately, again, regal applies to Eish. Now, what does that mean? That, in other words, Eish could damage in a normal fashion, as opposed to there's no kofar by Eish. Actually, interesting. If I light a fire and the fire ends up chas v'shalom killing someone, there's no kofar payment associated with that. The Gemara says mitamun, but you could learn it out from the liability or lack thereof, ultimately of hidden objects. To which Ligirashi says mitamun shepater be'Eish v'chayiv beregal. So remember again. Tamun is pater by Eish, but chayev by regal. Umaisi lahachi ma regal shebishusaram petura miklum, chayeves bershus hanizak afilu ala tamun, nezek shalim, kerishusar chatzi kofer. So we'll say, so remember again, it's actually very interesting that tamun, right, Rashi points out over here that aloha lamaisa, you're chayev for tamun by regal, meaning what? My animal walks into someone else's field, Reuven's animal walks into Shimon's field, tramples on stuff, and tramples on things that are hidden. There's still liability for that. Yet, interestingly enough, My regal shabashus rabin pturo miklum chayeves brishus anizak afila la tamun nezek shalim. So that's the logic. The words magul tamun shkineshno babar. So but tamun does apply ultimately again in bar. Rashi says shkineshno babar shim haya gedi tamun besak o bemartzup in iskal given up for the bar chayev. That ultimately, let's say an animal was hidden, right? It was in a bag and it falls into the bar and ultimately it dies. There's still liability for that. To which the Gemara says, Kalim, ultimately, again, there's liability for Kalim by Eish. Rashi says, Mikalim, Potter Buas Abar, or Mikalim, the regal, Mais Laki the Rishas. So, interestingly enough, remember, if my utensils fall into Reuben's bar and break, there's no liability for that. So the Gemara says, Malakalim, Shkin Yeshnan Baish, so that Kalim applied to Eish, Mikalim Tmunim. Ultimately, again, what about hidden utensils? Malakilim tunish ken yeshnan ba'adam. Kalim tmuna will apply by Adam. If a person damages hidden utensils, ultimately, again, there's liability for that. To which the Gemara says, Elalav shmamina mikofer deregal naisi. Rather, what you have to say is we learn it out. All of this is learned out from the liability of kofer by regal. What do you see from that? And as well say, so if you take a step back, the idea of Rabbi Tarfon, that you pay kofer shalim, because of Keren done Bershus HaNizak, ultimately, again, is learned out from Regel. So the Gemara says, Almo Ika Kofer Beregel Shmamina. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Allah HaLamayisa, there is a din of Kofer as it applies to Regel. So we'll say, really, really very interesting. So this idea that although, as we said before, paradigmatic Kofer would occur in a case of Keren, apparently, there is Karen by Regel as well. So therefore, again, going back to our original case, if the animal trampled, right, Reuven's animal goes into Shimon's field and tramples on Shimon's baby, Chas Shalom kills the baby, there is liability for that. There is Kofer liability for that as well, even though the baby died as a result of Reuven's animal's Regel. Okay, fascinating. So the Gemara says, this seems to be clear. Dika kofer beregel, that there's kofer beregel. Disa that chaleka kofer beregel, because ultimately, again, if you thought there was no kofer liability by regel, v'tana minizikin deregel ma'isila, and ultimately, again, the Tana's learning it out from the zikin deregel. Lifroch, you could ask the following question: Malin zikin deregel shekin yeshnon beregel elav shmamina mikofer deregel ma'isila. So I will say, ultimately, again, we're obviously not learning it out just from the stam case of damages by regel. Rather, ultimately, again, we learn out that there is kofer by regal. Amo ika kofer by regal shmamina. Okay, so I want to say so a little bit more of a convoluted sugya. But lamaisa, bottom line, what we emerge with is something very important. So I want to say, as we close this out and we enter into the new Mishnah, here are the facts we emerge with. Number one, Karen Bershus, Karen Tam, Bershus Arabim, is everyone is going to agree is Chatzinezek. Number two, Karen Tam Bershus HaNizak, so Karen damage, right, of a Tam animal, done on the property of the damage, Pari Macholkes Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Nezek Shalim, Chachamim Chatzi Nezek, we pass like the Chachamim, ultimately Nezek Shalim, sorry, Chatzi Nezek, half damages for Karen Tam, whether it's in Rishus HaRabim or whether it's in Rishus HaYachim. Good, so we'll say we also saw the whole sugya of Dayo, Chachamim pretty much always holding Dayo, Rabbi Tarfon applying Dayo when it doesn't undermine the Kala Chomer. Third school of thought, you don't apply Dayo. Concept of a Kala Chomer Midor Reisa, learned out from Moshe Rabbeinu in the episode of Miriam and Lashon Hara. Concept of Dayo, learned out from the punishment of Miriam as well. So tremendously sadistic ideas. Series of Kala Chomers, again, to try to go ahead and equate all different damages, didn't quite pan out from the Gemara. And lastly, although paradigmatic Kofer is learned out from Keren, Halacha l'maisa, there is kofer by regel as well. So if an animal kills someone, not as a result of aggressive behavior, but rather, again, just as a result of activity of daily living, of regel, the owner still has to pay a kofer payment. Now, what that payment is, how it looks, what it's collected from, Emir Tashem will get to those sugyas. Beautiful. We'll say new Mishnah, incredible Mishnah over here. Adam muad li'olam, bein shogeg bein nezid. Incredible. A person, I will say, is always considered to be forewarned. Person is always forewarned. In other words, adam or the olam means a person is always responsible for their damages. Whether they do damages b'shogeg, accidentally, or mazin, intentionally, bein ar ben yashin, whether a person is awake or whether a person is asleep, person is liable for all damages they do. Incredible. Sima es ein chadero. if Reuven blinds Shimon's eye, v'shibras akelim, or he breaks Shimon's utensils, mishalim nezek shalim, you have to pay full damages. Okay, says the Gemara, let's analyze. Katani simos in chavero dumi v'shibras akelim. Now, that last part of the Mishnah is very intriguing. So the first part of the Mishnah we know, adam muad li olam, a person is responsible for all of his actions. And we'll say again, not just halach lamaisa, but hashkaf lamaisa as well. Such a profound yisod. I am responsible for what happens in my life. But this person did this, this person did that. Now, sometimes it's true. Sometimes things happen to me as a result of other people's actions. But I will say a lot of times, even when things happen because of other people, I have to ask myself, did I place myself in a scenario where something could have occurred? Did I put myself in the wrong set of circumstances, and now through a confluence of other external events, I am now compromised? Just something to take into account, but at least in the world of damages, adam wali olam. So what's interesting is the juxtaposition of the last two cases, right? So first the Mishnah says, if Reuven blinds Shimon's eye, Reuven's chayiv nezek shalim. Similarly, if Reuven breaks Shimon's utensils, Reuven's chayiv nezek shalim. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. Katani sima es in chavero dumi de shibras kelim. We're equating the blinding of an eye with the breaking of utensils. To tell you what, ma hasam nezek in arba advarim lo, af simas in chavero nezek in arba advarim. To teach us a very important lesson, that just as when you break, if Reuven breaks Shimon's utensils, what is Reuven chayev for? Reuven is chayev for damages, right? To cause damages. What is he not chayev for? Any of the supplemental categories of damages. So we'll say, so look at the last Rashi in the daf. Nezek in arba dvarim lo, de lo mechayve arba dvarim, ela omezit o karav omezit, dumya tchira. So we'll say, so this is incredible. When we talk about these additional categories of damages, right, these additional categories of damages, of, I want to see Rashi, so when we speak about, you know, so sheves and ripui and boshes, and nezek. So right, we're talking about, again, different categories of damages, right? So we have regular damages, we have lost wages, we have doctor bills, we have humiliation. So let's say, so what's interesting to notice as follows. In order for me to be chayiv to pay those categories of damages, the damages have to, the damaging act has to be premeditated. Or at least I take that back. Has to be either premeditated or close to being premeditated. Look at Rashi. Last Rashi, nezek in arba advarim lo, Rashi says, he says, "Mechayve, the lo mechayve arba dvarim, elo o mezid o karov lo mezid dumi dechiyiriva." So this is incredible. When you damage someone accidentally, everyone agrees that all you're chayev for is damages. So when we say adam wa bi'olam, person is always responsible for damages. If Reuven damages Shimon, even totally by accident, Reuven is chayev damages. But the additional categories of damages, right, what we call the four categories, only apply in a case where Reuven intentionally damaged Shimon, or what we'll call karov lemezid. Karov lemezid means it's close to being intentional. Close to being intentional would also be like a case of where there was just like absolute negligence in what he was doing, and therefore it's karov lemezid. So this is actually very interesting. So that's why the Mishnah links the two last cases, because when Reuven blinds Shimon's eye, we're talking about an accidental case. When Reuven breaks Shimon's utensils, it's an accidental case. They're both accidental. Because they're both accidental, essentially, they're reckoned in the same way, which is really fascinating, which tells me that halacha l'maaseh, so all I'm chayiv for is damages and not any of the supplemental categories. So let's say Amud Beis, Chaf Bav Amud Beis, 26b. I says the Gemara, Minahani Mili. From where do we know this? Now we'll say, now how do I know? What is the Gemara asking? So Rashi says, the nezek chayiv afilu shogeg. How do you know that when you damage someone, you're chayiv for damaging them, even if, I was a shogeg, it was an accident. How do I know that I'm liable even for an accident? Amar Chizkiyah v'chein taran d'bei Chizkiyah. Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, so the Pasuk over here quotes from Mishpatim. So the Pasuk says, patza tachas patza. So literally, again, an injury underneath an injury. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Now we'll say, just to illustrate this, remember, this is talking about when you damage someone. So this is like, you know, kiviyah tachas kiviyah, burn for a burn, tachas patza patza, chabura. No, so again, so what does it mean? An injury, a patsa tachas patsa, or patsa tachas patsa, l'chaivo ala shogi kemezid. So we'll say that phrase is totally extra. Look at Rashi, patsa tachas patsa, kray yisirahu, it's an extra phrase. L'ach drasha ksiv, ki yitein mum ba'amito kasher asa, u kaviyah u chabura dashin. Because we'll say, the Pasuk simply says, you know, when you injure someone, So whatever you did to that person is done to you. Now we know based on Torah Shabbat Peh, it's not literal. In other words, if I punch someone in the face, I don't get punched back in the face. But the idea is that Lamaisa, whatever damage I visit upon someone else is visited upon me. If that's the case, the phrase Patsa Tachas Patsa is totally unnecessary. It's totally extraneous. So what does it come to teach me? Lechaivo ala shogei kimezid. It's coming to teach me that I am liable for an accidental act the same way that I am liable for an intentional act. The same way that I'm liable for intentional damage, I'm chayiv for unintentional damage. The ala onis kiratzon, and that I ultimately, again, the same way I'm obligated for willful damage, I'm also chayiv for onis damage, even extenuating circumstances. Incredible. So, Marissa, 1 second. Hai mi boile litin tsar b'makom nezek. But 1 second, actually, Patsa Tachas Patsa teaches us something else. But say, you might have thought that in a case where you're collecting damages, maybe you don't get payment for pain and suffering. Patsa Tachas Patsa teaches me that even when I'm getting damages, I also get payment. I also get payment for pain and suffering. I imkein lichtov kra patsa bipatsa. My tachas patsa. Why does it say that? If that's the case, it always teaching me that. Let it just say patsa bipatsa. What does it mean? Patsa tachas patsa. Again, that seems to just be. Sorry, I keep saying patsa. Petsa tachas patsa. Right? Ultimately, again, why use that lashon of tachas? So tachas teaches me shmamina tarti. Teaches me two things. Number one, that even when you get damages, you still get payment for tsar, right? You still get payment ultimately again for pain and suffering. And not only that, but not only is there liability for intentional damage, but there's even liability for unintentional damage, shogeg, and there's even liability for ones, even damage done as a result of extenuating circumstances. Incredible. Incredible. So by the way, just interestingly enough, Rashi points out, b'makom nezek, Rashi points out, we're going to see interesting cases where you could have a case where there is pain and suffering, even though there's no damage. You know, the Gemara gives the example of, let's say, Reuven burns Shimon on his fingernails. So there's no nezek. There's no depreciative damages, but there's pain. So again, this teaches me that there could be payment for pain and suffering. I would have thought maybe there's only a payment for pain and suffering when there's no damage. But if there is damage, you're getting damages, you don't get pain and suffering. Kamash, you get both. Good, says the Gemara. Amar Rava, it brought so some really interesting cases over here that have a number of different ramifications. Amar Rava, Haisa Evan Munachas Lo Becheko. Listen to this case. So let's say Reuven is sitting and there's a stone in his lap. There's a stone in his lap. So what's Talocha? Velo Hekirba. Now Reuven was unaware of it. Reuven was unaware of it. Whatever the Metziah says. Let's say Reuven was sitting. He didn't know that someone put a stone in his lap. So what happens? He gets up, va'amat, he stands up, v'nafla, and ultimately the stone falls down. Now obviously, we're going to be talking about stone falls down and say does damage. The stone, right? So Reuven stands up, didn't know the stone was there. Someone else placed it there, he stands up, stone falls on Shimon, and breaks Shimon's arm. So what's that, huh? L'inyin is zikin chayiv. So for damages, Reuven is going to be chayiv for damages. Why? Why? I will say why. Adam wadli olam, like we saw in Mishnah, because a person is always considered to be forewarned. Fine, Rashi says, Dafkina shogim mezeva on his kratzim. Fine. He's going to lean arba dvar and potter. Now, what about supplemental payments to Shimon? Right? What about, again, tsar, pain and suffering, sheves, ripui, boshes? What about all the other, right? So tsar, pain and suffering, ripui, doctor bills, sheves, lost wages, boshes, humiliation. So what about those four categories? So no, those you don't get. Why? Because as you said in the bottom of Amud Aleph, you only pay the supplemental four categories of damage when either something is mazid or karov lemazid. It has to be either like intentional or very close to being intentional. Okay. Leyin Shabbos. This is interesting. What happens? Listen to this. What happens if halacha lemaisa, for example, when Reuven gets up, let's say the stone, Reuven is sitting in Rosh Sarabim, and the stone rolls Dalet Amos in Rosh Sarabim. So it fell off his lap, and ultimately, again, or went flying Dalet Amos in Rosh Sarabim. What's the halacha? Potter. You're potter for Shabbos. Why? Because for Shabbos, Shabbos say, in order to violate the malacha, a malacha is a malacha is machshavas. It requires intentionality. And because there's no intentionality here, therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, no liability. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, malacha is machshavas asra Torah, sheniskabein lasos malacha, Ella kasaver shayom chol o saver shemalacha zumuteres v'chol hani darminar hacha lo niskabnu laso samalacha. Again, I will say there's no intentionality over here, right? So by Hilchos Shabbos, there has to be some level of intentionality. Either again, that I had intention to. In order to be chayv on Shabbos, You have to have intentionality to do the malacha. Now you could be a shogeg. I didn't know it was Shabbos today. Or I didn't know that this particular malacha is usser. But there's no liability for Shabbos without intentionality. So in this case over here, Reuben gets up, the stone rolls off, there's no intentionality, he's not going to be chayef. Incredible. So the Gemara says next, Liam Gullus. Interesting. What happens if when Reuben gets up, the stone falls on Shimon and Shimon dies? So Reuben's accidentally killed Shimon. What's going to be the halacha? Pater. It's going to be pater. Now why? Rashi says, the Gabi Gullus ksiv makin nefesh bishkaga velo mikri shkaga elehecha dehavile yidia meikara. This is incredible. Mosai, remember, when Reuben kills Shimon accidentally in a normal case, so Reuben goes out to Gullus, he's exiled. The only time that there is liability for exile is when there was what we call Yediyah Betchila. At some point in time, or what we call Yediyah Me'ikara, there was some recognition of the action in which Reuben was engaged that led to the death of Shimon. In other words, so Reuben's chopping wood. He knows that he's chopping wood, right? He's aware of the act, and he understands that the act carries danger. You know, again, he looked around. A splinter goes flying and kills Shimon. So that's, you go to death. You go to exile for that, right? That you're exiled because that's the death of Shogi. But when there was never a Yediyah Betchila, when you never had any awareness that there was even any potential for damaging act happening over here, there's no gullus. So in this case, when Reuben stands up and the stone falls off and kills Shimon, there's no liability for gullus because Reuben never had an awareness. So I will say, let's just run through this because it's really interesting on two levels. So again, Reuven's sitting, someone placed the stone on his lap, he gets up and the stone falls. So now we'll say the Gemara goes through all the cases. In terms of Nezikin, if the stone falls on Shimon and damages him or damages Shimon's property, Chayev, because Adam Muad Li'olam, right? Ultimately, again, for Arba Dvarim, the additional supplemental forms of damage, not Chayev. Why? Because it's only a Chayev if either it's Mezid, intentional, or Karov L'Mezid. For Shabbos, you're not Chayev. Why? Shabbos requires intentionality in order again to be Chayev for violation of a Malacha. For Gullus, again, if the stone fell on Shimon and killed him accidentally, Potter. Why? Because there was no initial awareness that he was engaged in a potentially damaging act. Le'inyan Eved. Okay, now listen to this. This is fascinating. So let's say now the stone falls off Reuven's lap, and what happens? It falls onto Reuven's Eved's eye and blinds him. Now the halacha normally is that if you blind your Eved Kenani, you poke out his eye, right, or you cut off a limb or like an appendage, so the halacha is the Eved goes free. So let's say in this case, Reuven stands up, the stone falls off, falls onto Reuven's Eved's eye and blinds the eye. Does the Eved now go free as a result of this? So this is incredible. Plugged into Reb Shimon Leil v'Rabbanon. This is Machlokes, Reb Shimon Leil v'Rabbanon. The Sanya, listen to this. Harei Shahaya Rabba Rofe. Let's say the master was a doctor. Va'amrlo kachol eini v'sima. So let's listen to this. Let's say Reuven is a doctor. And the Eved has an eye issue. And the Eved says to his master, you know, master, can you do me a favor and just like take a look at my eye? The Adon, the master, begins to treat the eye and accidentally blinds the Eved. Or, Chatur Lishinai, or let's say again, the Eved has a toothache and the master is a dentist. And the master is doing some routine dental work and he knocks out a tooth. What's the halacha? Sichek ba'adon. Ultimately, the Eved has the ability to laugh at the master. Why? Because the Eved goes free. If it goes free, right? He laughs all the way to emancipation. Reb Shimon Leil then says, no, v'shichasa achi is kavin l'shach. So Reb Shimon Leil disagrees. He says that's not true. The only time an eved goes through the loss of an eye or the loss of a tooth or the loss of an appendage or a limb is when there was intention to damage. But if there was no intention to damage, if I care, just the opposite, the intention of the master over here was to do what? Was to go ahead and help. Then certainly there is no lie. Then certainly the eved does not go free. Okay, so we'll say, so that's case number one. Case number two, Hikir b'avashacha. Same case, Reuben is sitting. Somebody put a stone on his lap. He recognized, he saw, there's a stone on my lap. Then what happened? He forgot. He forgot about it. So what's halacha v'amad? And I'm going to say, same case now. He stood up, the stone falls off. So let's go through the cases. Le'inyin nezikin chayiv. If the stone falls off and injures Shimon or injures his property, so again, Reuben's going to be chayiv. Why? Adam muad li'olam. The person is responsible for all of his actions. Good. So there's le'inyin dal dvarim pater. Again, for the additional supplemental buckets of damage, right? Nezek, tsar, ripui, boshas. You're going to be pater. Why? Because there's no liability for those four things unless, of course, what? You're mezid or karov l'mezid. Either intentional close to being intentional. Le'inyin gullus. What about gullus? Right? So again, if the stone falls off Reuven, it falls onto Shimon, kills Shimon, chayiv. Ooh. In this case, Reuven is going to be chayiv. Why? The Amakra, Vishkaga Michlal Dahavi Le Yidia Vahavli Le Yidia. Because also remember again, what's the prerequisite for going to Galus? The prerequisite is you had initial awareness. Had initial awareness. And Reuven had initial awareness in the sense. He knew at one point, he knew that the rock was on his lap. It's true, he forgot about it afterwards. But at one point in time, he knew it was on his lap. And therefore, again, that will generate liability for Galus. The Inyan Shabbos, for Shabbos, Pater, there'll be Pater. Why? Because as we said before, Shabbos requires Melechas Machshavos. Shabbos requires intentionality in order to violate the Melacha. And there is no intentionality over here. Okay. The Gemara says, Shibshaz Pater, the Inyan Eved, what about Eved? So in other words, same case, right? Stone was placed on Reuven's lap. Reuven sees the stone, knows, forgets about it, stands up. The stone falls onto Reuven's Eved's eye and blinds the eye. Does the Eved go free? Same machlokes. Plukta, the Rav Shingon Mil v'Rabbanon. So both sides mean the same machlokes again. Same machlokes for Shingon Mil v'Rabbanon. Right? The Rabbanon say he goes free. And Rav Shingon Mil says he doesn't go free because the only time an Eved goes free with the loss of a tooth, an eye, or an appendage is when there was intention on the part of the master to damage. But Lamaisa, because there was no intention, therefore Halacha Lamaisa, no liability. Okay, next case. Niskavin, Lizrok Shtayim, Vizorak Arba. This is an interesting case. Reuven had in mind to throw an object two amas, but instead it went four amas, and let's say it did damage. So now what's the Halacha? Linyan Nezikin Chayiv. So we'll say Nezikin is always easy. Essentially, again, by Nezikin, once you say Adam Wadli Olam, ultimately, again, a person is going to be responsible for all of their actions. So Linyan Nezikin Chayiv. Linyan Dalet Dvarim. What about, again, for Tsar, Ripui, Boshes, and Sheves? What about for the four additional supplemental buckets of damage? Pater. Why? Again, because those require Mezid or Karov Lemezid. Linyan Shabbos. What about for Shabbos? I will say, now, in this case, again, I only want to throw out two Amos. Now, remember, in order to violate Totsah on Shabbos, transferring an item in the public domain, it has to travel at least Dalet Amos. In this case over here, I only wanted to throw it two Amos. It ended up going Dalet Amos. So again, there's no intentionality over here, and therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, no liability. Le'inyan Dalet Dvarim Pater. Le'inyan Shabbos, Machas HaShabbos, Bo'inon, fine. Le'inyan Galus. What about Galus? Right? So again, let's say, so I meant to throw, Reuven meant to throw the stone two Amos, and then ended up going four Amis, and in the four Amis, it hit Reuven in the head and hit Shimon in the head and killed him. Accidental, but does he go to Galus? So ultimately, again, so Le'inyan Galus, Asher Lot Sada Amarachmano, Praklinis. So the Pasuk says, when do you go to Galus? When ultimately, again, there was no intention, Asher Lot Sada, there was no intentionality. So this is incredible. Prat, Liniskavin, Lizrok Shtayim, Vizarak Arba. Ultimately, what does this come to exclude? This comes to exclude a case, ultimately, again, where he meant to throw it two amas, and ultimately, again, it resulted in four amas. Now, as I will say, this is actually very interesting. In order to go to Galus, there has to be a total lack of intentionality. I didn't mean to do anything, right? Reuven's climbing up the ladder, and he falls down, right? Or he's chopping wood, but in a case where a person meant to throw the object, just Reuven meant to throw it two amas, but not four amas, right? So in that case, there is a level of intentionality. So because there is a level of intentionality, therefore what? Therefore halacha lemaisa, you don't go to Galus. Now to be clear, obviously Reuven is not going to be chayiv a capital punishment because lemaisa, again, he didn't intend to kill Shimon, but lemaisa, you also don't get Galus. Galus is a kapara, Galus is an atonement for those who are purely accidental in their actions. But in a case where you had in mind to throw the object, just you had in mind to throw it a shorter distance and it went a longer distance, that's not really called the kind of shogeg that is atoned for through Galus, and therefore you don't go to Galus. Okay, next. Le'inyan Eved, what about an Eved? So we'll say it's the same case. Reuven threw the stone, he meant to throw it two Amos. It ends up going four Amos, and you know, in the fourth Amos, it hits the Eved in the eye and blinds him. So plukti Rav Shimon Lev Rabbanon. So we'll say that's going to be the same machlokes. Again, the Rabbanon will say he goes free, the Eved goes free. Rav Shimon Lev says, no, you don't go free until there is an active, premeditated desire on the part of the master to damage the Eved. Okay, next. Next case. Niskavin Lizrok Arba. So right, next case now. Niskavin Lizrok Arba Vizorak Shmona. Interesting. Now, I had Kavanah to throw the stone. Reuven had Kavanah to throw the stone four amas. And what happened? It ended up traveling
eight amas. So what's the halacha over here? So this kavan is rakam revizarak shmona le'inyan ezikin chayiv. So let's analyze. So again, let's say Reuven damages Shimon or damages Shimon's property. Obviously chayiv. Why I both say? Because again, nezikin in general, any kind of damages other than the olam, always going to be chayiv. Le'inyan dal dvarim potter. Ultimately, again, but for the four additional categories of damages, again, tsar, ripui, boshes, sheves, ultimately potter. Why? Because in order to be chayiv for those four categories, you need mezid or karov lemezid. Okay. Le'inyan Shabbos. So we'll say, so what about Shabbos? Is there liability for Shabbos? The Gemara makes an interesting distinction over here. Ba'omer komakom shetirta tanuach in. If a person says, I'm throwing it, and wherever it lands, I'm happy, then there is liability. Ilo lo. But if you didn't make this statement, there's no liability. What's going on over here? So we'll say, take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi is actually right across. Im omer komakom shetirta tanuach chayiv. In other words, we'll say, so what's happening over here is if a person says, yeah, I want it to land wherever it lands, that is a malachas machshavas, because since from the beginning, my intention is to throw it four. So that already is a unit of liability. So a person expresses that my intent is to throw it, a unit of four, and it lands with an eight, right? So then there's liability. So we'll say, see here the difference over here? So if I articulate, if I explicitly say, you know, my intention is to go ahead and throw it four, wherever it lands, after that I'm happy with, then there's liability. Because I had in mind to do something that is usher. Rashi's just contrasting with the previous case where I threw it two and it goes four. There already, again, in that act, my intended act is not a malacha. So because that, there's no liability. Okay, so the Gemara says, le'inyan galus. What about galus? So now, again, same case. Reuven throws it four. He meant to throw it four amas. It goes eight. And then like in amma number seven, it hits Shimon in the head and kills him. So what's the halacha? Asher lo tzada. Once again, when do you go to galus? When there is no premeditated act. What does this come to exclude? Pratlin is kavin lizrok arba v'zarak shmona. So we'll say that comes to exclude a case where it was, in other words, we'll say, just to be clear, this case was premeditated. In other words, you're right. It was only premeditated for four amas, not eight amas. But la maisa, there was an element of premeditation in this. Because of that, halacha la maisa, I am chayiv. Oh, I'll take that back. When I say I am chayiv, meaning I don't go to galus. I don't go to galus. Remember, we'll say, we often look at galus as a punishment, and galus is a punishment, but galus is also an atonement. Galus, however, could only atone for something that is purely accidental. If something has an element of premeditation in it, then it cannot avail itself. That act cannot be atoned through galus. So therefore, again, when he means to throw, again, there's premeditation for the act of throwing. The fact that it went further than I wanted it to go, okay, that's unfortunate, but lamaisi, you can't claim shogeg. You can't claim that you're totally accidental and go to galus. Le'inyan eved, what about again, if the stone goes, hits the eved in the eye, blinds him, once again, plukta the Rav Shimon of Rabbanon. This will be the machlokes, ultimately, between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. Once again, Rav Shimon Gamliel saying the eved only goes free if there's a premeditated act on behalf of the, from the master to destroy. And the Rabbanon say, even if it's not premeditated, if he blinds the eved, knocks out the tooth, cuts off an appendage, right, Lamaisa, the Evan goes free. Incredible. But I'll say another case. This is a really great case as well. Amar Rava. Zorek Klimi Reu Shagag. Listen to this. Reuven throws a utensil off the roof. Okay. And I'll say, now, by the way, this is Reuven's own utensil. Right? Reuven throws his pitcher off the roof. What happens? Shimon comes along and he's doing batting practice. And what does he do? He smashes the pitcher on its way down. Right. So before the pitcher has hit the ground, so Reuven goes in and smashes it with the bat. Now ultimately again, so what's the halacha? Potter. Shimon is potter. Shimon's out there. You can imagine, right? Reuven's thinking, I can chaper, right? Shimon, you broke my utensil. No, Shimon's potter. Why? The Gemara is my taimo, mana tavre taver. He broke an already broken utensil. So it's actually very profound. The broken, already broken utensil. Meaning what? Since, we'll say, in the normal course of events, that pitcher was going to hit the ground and shatter into a million pieces. So we're done. That utensil, as far as halacha is concerned, is already broken. The fact that Shimon broke it with a bat instead of going in and breaking it, you know, on the ground, is irrelevant. Shimon broke an already broken utensil, and therefore, ultimately, again, it's putter for anything he did. Incredible. V'amar Rava, Rava says, Zarek Klimi Reu Shagag. Ultimately, again, Reuven goes ahead and throws a utensil off the roof. V'hayu tachtav karmo kistos, what happened? On the bottom, right, on the ground, there were cushions there. So therefore, the cushions were enough that they could have caught, so to speak, supported the fall of the pitcher, and the pitcher would have remained whole. And then what happened? Ba'achar b'silkan, okidem b'silkan. And what happens? Right, someone else comes along and removes the mattresses or the cushions. Right, so now again, something to cushion the fall of the pitcher was there, which would have allowed the pitcher to remain whole. Someone else comes along and removes it. So what's talacha? Potter. Ultimately, again, ba'achar b'silkan, oh, kidem b'silkan potter. My timer, be'inye deshadye psuke mafsiki geri. Now, I'll say, now, let's change this around a little bit. In this case, if you could imagine, Ruvain is going ahead and taking Shimon's utensil and throwing it off the roof. Right? Throwing it off the roof. And what happens here is, Rashi even says it over here, Zorak, it's a couple lines up from the bottom. Zorak mazik kelim kli mirosh agag v'yotachtav karmi kistos. So remember again, what's happening over here? So Reuven takes Shimon's kli, throws it off the roof. But again, the good news is on the ground, there are mattresses, right? There are cushions there. So the good news is, the kli is going to be just fine. Then what happened? Like, Levi comes along, and Levi pulls out the cushions. Or for that matter, interestingly enough, Reuven himself is very fast. He runs downstairs, pulls away the cushions. The kli, right, the Shimon's pitcher comes, smashes on the ground. What's talocha? Reuven is potter. Wow. Reuven is potter. Why is Reuven potter? So once I look at the lashon of the Gemara, my time of be'inne deshadye pasuke mifsike gire. Because at the end of the day, when Reuven threw it over, right, Reuven threw it off the roof, ultimately, again, Reuven's action was done. The action that Reuven did was one that should not result in the breakage of the utensil. Right? The utensil should be absolutely fine. There should be absolutely no problem over here because ultimately, again, there are cushions to catch the kli. So therefore, Reuven's action, literally, psuke mifsike gire means Reuven's arrows have ended. Reuven's arrows have ended. In other words, which means the action that Reuven did was an action that does not result in damage. The fact that now someone else came along, right, Levi, and removed the cushions, or by the way, even if Reuven himself did it, that's what's interesting as well, even if Reuven himself did it, there's no liability. Why? Because what we do is we look at the act from the moment that the utensil left Reuven's hand. When the utensil left Reuven's hand, was the utensil going to break? Would the action cause breakage? And the answer is no. That's when liability is determined, from the moment the kli leaves his hand. At the end of the day, that wouldn't result in a breakage. The fact that now new realities were introduced after the fact, there's no liability for Reuven. Take a look at Rashi. Potter, shari mizrikaso, at the moment that Reuven threw the kli, ein sofo lishaver. There's no reason the kli should not, there's no reason why the kli ultimately would break. Ad shinat lakarim, v'zeh shanat lakarim. So the one who took away the mattresses, v'afidu azorek atzmo notlan, supposed to, by the way, it's interesting. So this is just a fascinating case because essentially what the Gemara is saying is like this. Liability is determined at the moment that the damaging action occurs. When did the damaging action occur in this case? It's the moment that Reuven threw the Shimon's utensil off the roof. And in that moment, the mattresses were there on ground level. If the mattresses were there on ground level, again, there's no way that the utensil could break. So therefore, again, Reuven is exempt. Now, if Levi comes along and pulls out the mattresses, and now the utensil comes and breaks, Levi's also going to be potter. Why is Levi potter? Because it's grumma. It's causation. It's indirect. It's indirect. And we've already established, right, based on Shabbos, it's daf, that grumma ben Ezekin is potter. Not only that, but take it a step further. Even if Reuven himself runs downstairs, pulls out the mattresses, ultimately, again, Reuven himself will still be potter. So again, Reuven is potter on both counts. Reuven is potter from the time that he threw the utensil, because at the moment he threw the utensil, ultimately, again, the action itself should not result in damages because there are cushions and mattresses down below to catch the utensil. And even when Reuven himself removes the mattresses, he'll also be potter, because ultimately, again, it's going to be grumma. Incredible. I will say, we'll stop over here for today. I apologize. I know we went a little bit fast on Amud Aleph, but I knew that Amud Beis would take us just a little bit time to work through. I'm sorry that we went a little bit fast on one side, a little bit slower on the other. I would say tremendous, tremendous chus to be able to learn with all of you. I'm sorry that I'm not there with you this morning in person. Looking forward to seeing everyone in Meretz Hashem on Wednesday morning live for Shir. And I will say shkoyach. Have a wonderful day.